Here is what David writes, and you can probably quote it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Look at the next verse. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now you can understand why he said that way. God, you're going to feed me in this cave. You're going to prepare a table. I can't even go out and get food, but I'm not going to worry about that. If you have to send a raven, if you have to let a big moose come walking in this cave, we're going to eat tonight one way or another. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And now he starts prophesying. He starts saying, I'm not going to live in this cave for the rest of my life. I may be down now, but don't count me out. It may not look good for me now, but this is not the end of my story. God is my refuge. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And guess what? I'm not going to be in a cave. I'm going to be in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to be back in Jerusalem. I'm going to be on the throne. I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. This cave is not my destiny. It may be the roof over my head today, but it is not my destiny. And I got to tell somebody tonight, you are meant for more than battle. The battle is not your assignment for the rest of your life. You may be going through something, but there is something bigger waiting on you. The battle is not for the rest of your life. There's people in this room that have had to live in their cars, and it looked like, I know these people, they're here tonight. They have had to live in their cars. They have no money and no roof over their head, and it looked like there was no way that it could ever change, but look where they are tonight. God has come through with blessing and goodness and blessing around them. There are testimonies in this very room of homeless people who said, it looks like I'm never coming out, but here they are. There are people in this room tonight that they were in prison, but guess what? A prison cell was not their permanent assignment. It was only a temporary placement because the bars could not hold them, and the cars could not hold them, and the poverty could not hold them, and the decimation could not hold them, because even in a cave, God can prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Hallelujah. If you believe that, or if you've ever been through that before, can you just take a minute here and give God praise? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have you ever had to sing cave songs? Have you ever been in a place where all you can do is trust God? I don't know about you, but when I have to sing cave songs, I crawl up with the Psalms. I can't tell you how many times in my life I have gone and shut the door behind me, and I have just started reading the Psalms and finding strength and comfort. These very songs that not only David wrote in the cave, but after you get past 18, 19 of Psalms, it starts getting better because now he's writing in the tabernacle of David. So before, the early Psalms is David in the cave. The latter Psalms is David in the tabernacle of David under the glory cloud of God, and that's when you see the victorious Psalms. And I cannot tell you how many times I've crawled through those first 20 Psalms. I cannot tell you how many times I needed to know that that was not my permanent situation. It was only I was passing through something. I wasn't living there. I wasn't going to stay there. I was passing through something. Have you ever had to keep your eye on a promise and encourage yourself in the Lord and look beyond what God promised that was now delayed in your life? I remember a man in my church in St. Louis. He was the county treasurer for one of the counties there in the St. Louis metro area. And he was up for election, and this was his paycheck. This was his job. He was an insurance salesman before then. And so this was his full-time job, and he lost the election. I'll never forget him coming to my office. I didn't know if the man was going to make it or not. He had literally fallen apart. I mean, his life was ruined. He could see everything that you see when you don't have a paycheck. I'm going to lose the house. I'm going to lose the job. I'm going to lose the marriage. I'm going to lose the family. I'm going to lose all this stuff. He just began to see all of that around him and nothing but failure. He got so depressed, the only place he could find joy is the bowling alley. So I don't know where he got his money, but he went there every day and he stayed there for hours all day long at bowling alley until he'd come to see me, and that was pretty regularly. He'd come and see me, and I would hold his hand through the crisis, and I said, listen, this is not what you're meant for. You're going to make it through that. Somehow or another, his wife had a good job. Somehow or another, they made it through that season. I think it was a couple of years that they had to survive that. And here come the next election, and he was not on the ballot for the county treasurer for his job again, but someone came to him at the last minute and said, the county commissioner has resigned, and we want you to be considered for the county commissioner, which was his boss's job before he lost his job. He came to me and said, I don't want to get my hopes up. I said, don't put your hope in an election. Put your hope in the Lord. Do you believe that you were meant for more than this? He said, I do believe I was meant for more than this. I believe I was. And so he led them run his name, and guess what? He won. He went from the county treasurer to no job into the highest position in the county. And he came to me and he said, because I am now the county commissioner, to say thank you for all of that. Now, this is actually a real day. I don't know that any of you would know this, and I even forget what day it is, but he texts me every time this day comes around. He declared a particular day of the week. I think it's on National Ice Cream Day. I think that's the one he chose because he knew I loved ice cream. He declared it as Dr. Brian Cutshaw Day in that county. So on the county, on the county records, they don't think no one celebrated it but him, and I forget about it. So every year on Dr. Brian Cutshaw Day on the county calendar, you can go look it up. It's in Hillsboro, Missouri, and Jefferson County. If you look it up, Dr. Brian Cutshaw Day is one of the days on the calendar. He declared it as Dr. Brian just because he could. And so every year he would text me and say, go get you an ice cream and celebrate Dr. Brian Cutshaw Day in Jefferson County, Missouri. I want you to go do that. And so it was an amazing thing. And guess what? The next year his wife got voted in as the county treasurer, which was his old job. So now they are the power team. He went from absolutely losing everything to getting everything back twice as much as he lost, because God is my shepherd in the midst of hard circumstances. Even in a cave, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Somebody needs to latch onto that right now. I don't care what you're in. I want you to say to yourself, I shall not want. I know what it looks like, but God is going to take care of me. I know what it sounds like, but God is going to take care of me.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
So let me show you the journey he had to go on. I don't know if you've ever seen this in the Psalms before. So this is where he goes. The Lord is my shepherd is in verses 1-4. He has to move in his journey from he to you. Now that's what's going to happen in the cave. God seems far away. He. It's like he's way out there. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still water. Pastor Clay, I want you to come. I want to use you as an illustration, all right? So I want you to just stand over there for a moment. This is what's going on in David's life. He's saying every time he makes a declaration, he gets closer to God. You just stay right there. See, he is far away from me. He is over there. He makes me lie down. I'm declaring that. I'm not in green pastures yet. I'm in a cave. He leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. I'm not beside still waters, and my soul is definitely not restored, but I'm claiming that. I'm declaring that over my life because I'm still in the cave. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, wait a minute. That means God is going to do it because he is God, not because of who I am. God is not going to do it because I'm worthy. God's going to do it because he is God. Sometimes God does things just because he wants to. I think there's a sneaky side of God. No, let me say that. There is a sneaky side of God. I think there's a sassy side of God. I think sometimes God puts his hands on his hips and gives you the chicken head and says, I don't need anybody's permission to bless you. I don't need your mother-in-law's permission. I don't need your boss's permission. I don't need your enemies. I'm just going to bless you because I want to. Let them pout. Let them say what they want to say. I just want to bless you today because I love you today, and I don't need anybody's permission. I am God all by myself, and I can just bless you because I want to. He said he's going to lead me out of this for his righteousness' sake. He leads me down paths. Notice it's a path. It's not a road. A path is very few people. You can't hardly see a path. It looks like, okay, God, I don't know where I'm going, but I still see you out there. I still feel you out there. Lord, it's not a straight path. It's a crooked path, and it's not a well-worn path. Few have survived this route, but you're leading me down a path of righteousness for your name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then he gets to this part. He's there because you are with me. Guess what? He is no longer talking to he. He's now standing right beside of him. He's talking to you. Can I tell you what the valley will do for you? Can I tell you what the cave will do for you? It'll take you from here to there. It'll take you from seeing God way out there to him becoming a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I want to know if there's anybody in the room that you have ever gone through some hard times, some hard circumstances, and you did not even know if you were going to make it, but because of those hard circumstances, it drew you closer to the Lord than you have ever been in your life. Your worship amped up, your prayer life amped up, your Bible reading amped up. Can I tell you, there's nothing like a valley to get you in the Word. There's nothing like a valley to get you turning your house into a sanctuary and turning on gospel music and playing the gospel. There's nothing like a valley to get you coming to church and being the first one in the altar. Said, oh God, I can't sit back tonight. I need you too bad. I don't care if they talk about me. I don't care what they think about me. It's not about that, God. If I don't get a touch from you, I'm not going to make it through the week. Oh God, I need you, Lord. I need you. And I've got to get to you. Or I've been in times in my life, all I wanted to do is get in the house of God. And I did not care what I have been the pastor, and I have been preaching and been the first one on the altar because I knew I needed it. I'd tell the singers to sing. I'd call for the altar, and I'd walk off that stage and hit the floor. And in those moments, people think, well, aren't you going to lay hands on me? No, tonight I need God to lay hands on me. No, tonight is one of those nights that I don't have anything to give. I've given everything. I don't mean tonight. I just mean one of those nights. I've been in those places where I say, God, I don't have anything else to give out. I don't have anything else to say. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And that is where he meets me, and that is where he shows me. He shows up in my life, and that is where he changes my circumstances.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.